Father, again, we just thank you for the opportunity that you gathered us here together this morning. We just thank you for the weather, the warmth that we feel, the sun that shines, just reminds us of your glory and your warmth and your comfort that you provide us. We've all got many things on our hearts and our minds this morning. We have heavy hearts this morning for the Sikh family who just continues to get dealt blow after blow as they deal with the loss of Lee and now Jenny. It seems crazy, and we don't know what to do other than just lift them up before you. You are the only one that's going to be able to comfort that family, to comfort Dale. We just ask that you do that in a mighty way. We just bring that family before you, Father. And as we go through this morning, we want to thank you for being the one that we can come to and the one that can provide that comfort for us. And we get to see good stories. We thank you for Doug being home. Doug Rinnernecht is home with a new kidney, and that's something that we've prayed for a long time, and we get to see the fruit of that. We thank you for healing Eldred up enough that he's able to join us this morning, and we just pray that you can continue to just work miracles. We bring Gordy before you this morning as he is in need of your hand and healing touch just to allow him to get healed up enough that they can perform surgery and do the things that they can do to get him feeling better. There's so much sadness and stuff in this world that we tend to deal with, and we just want to bring it before you because we don't know what to do with it, Father. It's all in your hands. We pray this morning that you allow us just to focus on you, that we can just shut our distractions off and the things that we have that we look forward to when we leave here. We're going to get to spend time with our family and friends, and we just ask that you allow us to take something this morning and be able to walk out of here with joy and a happy heart and able to just share that love that you can bring and that comfort that you can bring with our family and our friends who need to know you and need to see you. And just Holy Spirit, just take this over and allow this to work however you see fit. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to do a couple different things this morning. We've got a couple different videos to watch. So the first one, Eric's going to put up on the screen. You can sing along if you want. You can just stop and listen. It's very powerful, and it's going to be able to tie in and maybe prepare our hearts for what the Holy Spirit has for us this morning. So Eric can start that song. We're going to take a different approach this morning on Easter. We've all grown up. We've all looked at Easter and Resurrection Sunday and everything. We know the story. We've been told the story time after time after time. We know what to expect. We know what we're supposed to think. We got it all right here, right? My heart is heavy, and I'm sorry. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of people that are upside down. And what does this change? Because isn't that what matters? We know the story. We know the resurrection. We know Jesus Christ died on that cross and was crucified for us. But what does it change? Does it change anything? Does it mean anything? What good does it do us? We get it, we understand it, we accept it. But does it change you? Does it help you? Does it affect you? Number one, what does the cross prove? That's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. When, if you remember, when Jesus went to the garden to pray, and his disciples went with him, and he told them to stay there, keep guard, and watch. What did Jesus go and what did he pray? What did he ask? He went a little beyond them and he fell on his face and he prayed. And he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He leaves and he comes back, and remember, he finds the disciples sleeping. He does what? He goes back up and he prays again. And what did he say? In verse 42, he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus didn't get an answer from God, his Father, to do it any different way. There is no other way to obtain salvation, and that proves it. Jesus went on that hill, and he prayed alone to his Father, and he said, if there's any other way that I may take this cup, that I may take this, if there's any way, because I don't want to do what I have to do. I will do it because I'm willing, because I love you, and I will do it. But if there's another way, if there's an easier way, give it to me, because this is going to suck. This is going to hurt. This is going to be tough. And there was crickets. There was nothing. There is no other way for the wrath of God, as that song was, to be justified, to be okay, other than what Jesus did for you and hung on that cross. There's no other way. So if you look at the cup, if he says, hold, if there's any other way that you may take this cup from me, who holds that cup? Who is holding that cup to say, Jesus said, take it away. If it's possible, who do I need to take it from? Who has it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 12. Seeing that his divine power has granted us to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, by all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing, for as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, you enter the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied for you. I was reading wrong. I thought that didn't sound right. Sorry, that was 2 Peter. Sorry, start over. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. Though faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, hang on to this, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Who has been distressed by various trials? All of the people we're praying for. All of the stuff that's in our life, right? So that why? Proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with an inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith by the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied, that song ties right into this too. As to the salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to us, you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. And these the things that we have now announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Question for yourself, what are you showing them? If the angels are longing to look, what are we showing them? It said glories when it says in verse 11, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So there's proof that it was done right. The sufferings led up to the cross, to the resurrections, for the glory to follow. What is the glory? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. And others experienced mockings, scourges, yes, and also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all these things, having gained approval through their faith, they did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us. Apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, since it's true, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, and let us run with endurance the race that has set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for what? The joy set before him endured the cross. We tend to put people on a pedestal. Whether it's good people, bad people, sports figures, church people, parents, family, friends, whatever, we tend to put people on pedestals. There are people in the past, as that just read, that they lived a life that this world was not worthy of them. They were awesome. You think of the Billy Graham type people. You think of all the past prophets is what this is speaking of, that lived a life that was awesome. They went out, they were persecuted, they were scourged, they were beat, they were sawn in half, they were put in prison, all for preaching the good news. And yet, what does Jesus say? We look at that and we're like, wow. But he says, God says, I provide something better for you. I provide someone better for you. 11:40 said, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Why did Jesus endure that suffering? Because the joy that was set before him. That was better. Because the joy that was set before him is our salvation through him. That is what he did it for. That is why he went to the cross. That is why these people endured all that stuff, was to present that. That is why we go out of here and we present that to people. Because that's the joy that is set before him. The joy that's set before him is your salvation. He desires all men to be saved. It's not a select few. It's not certain people. He doesn't just care about the ones who love him. He hung on that cross and went through what he did for all of mankind. Because of the joy that he had for all mankind to experience salvation through him. Deliverance from the wrath of God was gained by Jesus. We're all sinners and we all fell short of the glory of God. How did we obtain that back? That was the whole work of the cross and the resurrection of him 3 days later. Conquering death approved it, satisfied God's wrath. By him doing that. Romans 5:10 says, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Who's an enemy? We all are an enemy. We all sin. We all stumble. We all fall short. Does he hold that against us? No. Because Jesus says, is there any other way? If there's another way for me to take those sins from these people, I will do it. Is there an easier way? Is there any other way? God says no, but this will satisfy. This will be able to take the place. And that's what he did. So you say, let's get real. Okay? What does this do for me? I get it. It goes back to the point of Easter and Resurrection Sunday and all the Christmas, anything that you can take as a Christian religion holiday that we feel like we need to do special things, that we get together and we gather and we celebrate and we do this. But what does it do? This is where I'm at, is get real. What does it do? What good does it do me? Let me ask. are hard problems and tough situations selective upon whom they choose? Does being an adult versus a child mean that certain things don't happen? The University of Iowa is a children's hospital for what? Children. It's full of children. We say that's not fair. We're the old ones. We should get it. Does being male versus female take that heat off? Any of those afflictions, troubles, or trials? Does being rich versus being poor take any of those? Rich people have problems. Poor people have problems. There's no segregation in who gets trials and troubles and tribulations and sufferings. Who has hurt? It's everybody. Why? Because this world that we live in is a sinful, ugly place. That's part of the world that we live in. It's an imperfect world that is corrupted by sin. So what does this do? What does it have to do? We're going to watch a video, one more video, and then we'll answer the question. Some of you have seen that video. This is a different version of it. And what was awesome with this version of it was, where did the girl go? She went back to her friends. She went back to the world. And what did every single one of them do? They turned around. It doesn't matter. Family, friends, whoever it is, when we have struggles, when we have hard situations, there's going to be people that do not understand. There will be people that turn their back. There will be people that walk away, that will hurt. Where was Jesus that whole time? Did you notice the guy that portrayed Jesus? He was sitting there waving the whole time. Hey, don't forget about me. I'm right here. He didn't leave and go off stage. He didn't walk away. He didn't get in the way. He allowed her to use that free choice that she had to make those decisions and just say, I'm right here. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm not leaving. We have two choices when hard things happen. There's only two things, one of two. Number one, you either get angry and you turn away from God, or two, you turn to God and seek comfort. Just like that. You seek comfort from Him, because what does the world do? They're going to turn their back. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 gives us insight on something very important. That we only see a portion of what's happening. We don't see the whole picture. God doesn't reveal the whole pictures to us. There's things, there's the suicide, there's the death, there's the sickness, there's the situations that we have from young to old that we don't see at all. We don't get the big picture. On earth, we don't see it. Some we do, we probably won't. A lot of it, we have questions of why. But God doesn't reveal to us that whole picture. There's a portion that He holds back, that He doesn't reveal all the time. Does that mean that He doesn't care for us? Does that mean that our suffering, He doesn't know about our suffering, that He doesn't understand our suffering? Well, ask yourself, what do you think Jesus felt when He was on this earth? Do you think He suffered when He was tortured, hung on that cross, beat, had a very brutal death? And to make it worse, He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve any of that. Isaiah 53:3 says, Jesus was despaired and forsaken of men, and was a man with sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet on top of that, His sufferings included the sin of the entire world. We have our pains. We have our sufferings, and we think that we're isolated and alone. But where was Jesus? He did it all plus. His sufferings were far greater than what we could even imagine if he carried the sins of the entire world. He took the cup because he will do whatever it is possible to restore us to God. That is the point of the resurrection. Proving that it's over, it's done with. He conquered death. That is why he did it. He did it for you. He didn't do it just for a certain select amount of people or to have some people worship him. He did it for you. He conquered the grave. He beat death. So the wrath of God was satisfied, and we get to be in eternity in heaven forever. For all of eternity, we get to share in that glory that he has, that he did for us. It makes no sense. We sit here and we just do our normal ritual thing. In all reality, it's crazy. Think about what we gain from it. What does turning to God bring through our sufferings and our sorrows? It's peace. Ephesians 2:13 through 14, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near." We were formerly far off, but were we alone? Did that lady in that video, did she go far off? Event after event after event after event leading to the thought of suicide. Was she alone? That is the problem with suicide. I don't know how to stop it. Nobody does. It's a sickening problem. And it bothers me. Because you see the effect of what it has on the family afterwards, to the point where it'll even break somebody else down and then they die. All within a series of events because of the anxiety, the pressure, the issue of it. That is what Jesus died for. We don't have to carry those problems. We don't have to carry those burdens. We don't have to fight with that. Because him, by raising from the grave, took care of all that. He beat it all. It's the world who pushes us in the corner. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Do you remember the story when Jesus was on the cross and he was crucified and it went dark and he gave up his spirit? He didn't die. He allowed himself to be done. What happened to the veil in the temple? It was torn from the top to the bottom, proving that it wasn't man who went in there and tore it. It was saying that the wrath of God being justified now allows us to have a direct relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ did. We don't have to go somewhere special or say something special to someone or do something. We have direct access to the God of the universe one-on-one. We can have that peace in our mind, in our soul, in our spirit. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." That is Easter Sunday. That is resurrection. He did it so we can have peace. Because every one of us has something in that video that we just watched. There is something that we struggle with, every single one of us. And we'll get caught at the end. Because we're either going to make one or two choices when we're sitting there at the end of the rope. Am I going to trust him? Or am I going to be angry? And am I going to play the blame game? That it's his fault that put me here, that put this upon me, that put this sorrow and this suffering upon me. Jesus willingly sacrificed his life. He stayed on the cross to prove God's love for us. He could have got down. He even said it. All the events leading up to it, all the people coming out to arrest him, he didn't fight. He didn't say anything. He willingly let it happen because he knew that's what God needed to happen. He was obedient to his Father because there was no other way. it shows us God's true power. He rose from the dead 3 days later to claim victory over death, just like he said he would. I was going to look and went a different path of all of the Old Testament prophecies fulfilled through the crucifixion, the leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. There's over, well over 20. I was 20 deep and had far more to go that are fulfilled prophecies of what Jesus did. God loves us, and he doesn't want us to be poisoned by sin's hold. Therefore, he gave us a way out. That way out is Jesus Christ raising from the grave. That is the whole point of this. That is the whole point of Easter or Resurrection Sunday. That proves that the wrath of God was satisfied, that there was nothing else that could have been done, that there's nowhere else for us to turn. He gives us the answer loud and clear. There's no other way. We were going to look at some abnormalities of all the crazy thing that was happening during the arrest and the crucifixion and the resurrection. All the stuff that in the normal man's eyes would not have been normal. From the veil tearing to the earthquakes, from the darkness in the middle of the day to the way that they treated him, to the way that they hung him on the cross. All the stupid stuff that they did would have been abnormal. They crucified people all the time, so this would have been far different. Yet they still hung him on that cross. He came from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ to bear all the sins of humanity with one act, dying on the cross. Because of his sacrifice, we can be freed from our sin and the death that it brings. That's the answer. That's what it is. That's what this is a reminder of. We are free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. What is slavery? All of the stuff in that video. The world drags us in and traps us and we feel like we cannot get out. Suicide. There's obviously no way when somebody commits suicide that they look like they have a way out other than suicide. They're entangled in slavery. But Jesus said, don't be. Come to me. I am the one that conquered death, so you don't have to, because you can't, and you won't without me. And I'm giving you direct access to that, the veil being torn. You're not in it alone. God doesn't expect you to do it alone. That's why we have direct access to him. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful of death, of problems, of struggles, of trials, of situations. The world and Satan wants us to be entangled in fear. God does not. We should be able to look at death. We, as believers in Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not experience death. Will it look like it to some of us? Yeah, your body will be laying there dead. It will look like it. But all you do is close your eyes and you wake up in the presence. Not even wake up. It's a blinking of an eye. You don't even go to sleep. Your body's lying there. You are separated, standing with the Father. What do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. There's nothing that we need to be afraid of. Are the trials and the tribulations and the struggles hard? Sure they are. But what are we doing through those? We are proclaiming the name of Jesus through those. So the other people in your life that are hurting, struggling, and have problems can see Jesus through you. Because we can have that confidence and that hope. Hope is not something we hope for. Remember, the original language is confidence. We have confidence in where we're going when we die. That confidence should shine through us. That confidence other people should be able to see, because our goal is to have them ask, how can you get through this? What is the hope that you have within you that I don't have within me? Please tell me. And we can say, look at my friend Jesus. That is what we go through struggles and troubles and trials and tribulations for. To be able to glorify him and proclaim his name. We can use days like today when we're with our family as a perfect chance to be able to do that. Because everybody's hurting. Everybody can walk into a place and put a smile on their face and say, I'm fine, everything's fine, I'm okay. We're all good at that. Suicide. To the outside, that kid looked just fine. His friends thought he was just fine. His parents thought he was just fine. His grandparents thought he was just fine. But he wasn't. He masked it. So as we go out today, we have two choices. Be angry at God, or we turn to God. We know what the answer is. We know what the cross did. We know what the empty tomb did. The end of the book has already been written. There's no more. We don't have to wonder what the answer at the end of the book is going to be. What is our life going to play out like? What is this world going to look like? We know the end of the answer. Jesus won. Victory is already completed. Satan has lost. So why don't we walk out in our days and our life confidently in that? Instead of the pressure of the world beating us down and beating us down, he rose from the grave. He beat it. It's over with. Go live it. That will bring you joy. That will bring you peace. Happiness only happens because of the circumstances. Joy is being happy, joyful, comfortable in every situation that you're in, whether it looks good or it looks bad. That's what the peace of Jesus will bring you, is joy, peace, and comfort. What does this world need right now? It's a chaotic, ugly world. It needs joy. It needs peace. And it needs comfort. It needs truth. It doesn't need lies. It doesn't need gossip. It doesn't need maligning. It doesn't need all the ugliness that this world has. This world needs people that believe that Jesus Christ rose from that grave. That's what the world needs, is those people. To go forth and be that light, be that glory. Because that is what that burning incense, that beautiful smell, that aroma that God wants. He desires a relationship. He wants us. He doesn't leave us. He wants that relationship to be real and authentic. That's it. We're just here to carry it out. Father, we thank you for the time this morning. We just thank you for such great visual aids that you're able to give us to see your truth, to see how much you care for us, how much you love us, how much we need you. We pray that as we go out of here, we can go out of here with joyful hearts, knowing that we have the confidence and the comfort that you are in control, and that we don't have to experience death. You conquered it. You beat it. The story's over. It's written. It's done. And we can go out of here with our heads held high, knowing that placing our faith in you allows us to be victorious. We're on the winning team when we walk out of here. Please let us wear that proudly. Please let us go out to our families and our friends and our workplaces and the areas that you've designated all of us to be in. Please let us just do that for your glory and honorable to you. We just thank you again for sending your Son on our behalf, that if there's anyone that has not placed their trust in him, that they can do it now. Knowing that hanging on the cross, the blood that was shed was for our sins. Our purpose was to satisfy your wrath, that you are perfect. You're not a mean, evil God in a sense of wrath, but you're a perfect, that you can have no part of sin. So Jesus, you took our spot by saying, I will become sin for them. I know no sin, but I will become sin on their behalf. And if they accept my sacrifice, we get an eternity in your presence. And we thank you for that. Such a simple answer. This life makes things so complicated and confusing, but salvation is so simple. To trust that the sins were paid for, that my sins were paid for on that cross. And that is it. And we thank you for it. As we go out of here and we go our separate ways, we just pray that you can help us to be proud of your kingdom, to do your work honorably, on behalf of just making heaven more crowded. In your son's name we pray. Amen.